to be on the right side of history. History is thought of as a force that has a life of its own, and many people are interested in being on what they regard as the right side of that force. The book of Revelation was written for people who are on the wrong side of history. The book of Revelation is an example of a genre known as apocalyptic. Apocalyptic is the genre of the losers. It's the genre of those who are on the wrong side of history. Those who find themselves besieged, beleaguered, oppressed by the forces of history, forces beyond their control, and because history leaves them no room for hope, they put their hope in a power that stands outside of history, and that ultimately, they believe, will stand in judgment upon history. There are a number of clues in the reading that we heard a few moments ago from the book of Revelation that indeed its listeners, its readers, its original readers anyway, were oppressed, besieged by the forces of history. As St. Paul says in another place, he says to the Corinthians, you know, not many of you are well born, not many of you are wealthy, not many of you are well educated. That was the population of our first fathers and mothers in the faith. They were the ones on the wrong side of history. And the promises that Jesus makes to this beleaguered community in the reading from Revelation this evening gives us a clue as to their sorry state. We're told one of the elders says to John, the visionary, pointing to this enormous crowd of the saved from every nation, race, people, and tongue, those who stood before the throne and before the Lamb, that these are the ones who have survived the stress. The Christian people is a people in distress. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. This people on the wrong side of history has been baptized in blood. They've been the victims of violence and persecution. The elder promises John the visionary that those in this crowd, in this enormous crowd, that they will find shelter. The one who sits on the throne will shelter them. They won't hunger or thirst anymore. And that tells us that these early Christians were themselves refugees in some sense. In the spiritual sense. They didn't have a home in this world. The forces of this world's history victimized them. They went through the world hungry and thirsty, exposed to the forces of the sun and the heat. They must have had a lot to grieve over, a lot to mourn over, because we're also told in this vision that the one who is seated on the throne will shepherd them, and that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. They were hungry, thirsty, mournful, persecuted, many of them brought to violent deaths in a time which for them was a time of great distress. They were on the wrong side of history. And what is that reality? What is this power in which these early Christians placed their hope? Again, history wasn't good to them. And so they placed their hope in a power, in a reality beyond history, above history. The one in whom they set their hope was a lamb. Now, I don't know about you, but in the face of the persecutions that the early Christians endured, in the face of their hunger, their thirst, their distress, all of the things that gave them grief, a lamb seems to offer very little hope. And we're told that this lamb, who is in the center of the throne, will shepherd them. This lamb will be the one who will call them out, who will rescue them from all of these violent forces of history that bore down upon them. The lamb, innocent, the lamb who is himself a victim, is the one who somehow is able to save these losers, these have-nots, from all that oppress them. And one of the truths, the consoling truths that I think that we're supposed to take from this reading is that the power of the Lamb's love, the power of the Lamb's blood, is stronger than any of those violent forces in history that are beyond our control, that oppress us, that discourage us, that make us feel like have-nots and losers. The Lamb, of course, is Jesus, and he is called a Lamb for a very significant reason. This text, of course, is a reference to that original Paschal Lamb whose blood rescued the Israelites, who were the down and outs, the have-nots, the losers of their age, rescued them from oppression and slavery in Egypt. And we are told, just like the early Christians to whom this vision was first addressed, that you and I are rescued by the blood of the Lamb from all in history that oppresses us. All of the forces that set themselves against God, all the forces that set themselves against us, against our faith, all those forces that drive you and me on a daily basis to give up our hope, all of those forces will be judged by a lamb. By a lamb who surrenders himself to death, but whose love in the resurrection triumphs over the violence of history, over all that which oppresses us. Today we have the great joy of welcoming into this mystery five children. When you and I were baptized, and as they are baptized today, they are introduced, initiated into the death and resurrection of the Lamb. And this means that their lives, like all of our lives, have a new destiny. That we are no longer slaves to history. We are no longer the victims of those things beyond our control. We no longer need to lose hope in the face of all of those things beyond our control. Because this defenseless lamb rescues us from sin and death and history. He is, in fact, all-powerful. He is the one who gives us eternal life, as he tells us, and that we shall never perish. He is so powerful that nothing can snatch us out of his hand, as he himself tells us. So today, this mystery of initiation and baptism, it gives us great joy and great hope. In the Eucharist that we celebrate, and which one day in the not-too-distant future these five children will also enjoy, the Lamb again presents himself to us in all the fragility, the weakness of the Lamb. Just as the Lamb was ground up for our salvation, crucified, broken for our salvation, so the Lamb on this altar is once again broken and ground up in our very mouths. So the Lamb is again poured out for our salvation. And it's our communion with this mystery that gives us hope, that everything that oppresses us, that discourages us, that tries to deprive us of our hope, ultimately all of those things will be judged by the Lamb.